the ICANN, you know, documentation, even the planning structures, where all the different activities that relate to security, stability, and resiliency were brought into one unified document, and as I'll talk about, also for use as a management construct. So this plan really was focused on an initial foundation. Role definition was important. We needed to make clear to everybody what exactly ICANN felt it did and did not do in the internet security area, as well as a framework for delineating programs, activities, and resources. This plan is called for in the ICANN strategic plan, and we believe it's going to become an ongoing part of the strategic and operational planning process. But when the ICANN strategic plan called for having a security, stability, and resiliency plan, it clearly makes its intent known in terms of making sure there's enough transparency about all the programs and activities. And as you'll see, the plan even includes specific resource investments for the upcoming ICANN operational year. So what it is not, however, is a tabling of new initiatives. It talks about programs and activities that really are already part of our strategic and operational plans. And the reason that it's really not a think piece that stretches what ICANN might do in contributing in this area is really we wanted to ensure that we had community buy-in on the starting point as we defined our role in security, stability, and resiliency. So really the remainder of the briefing is structured around the sections of the plan. There's six sections of the plan, and there's probably about 10 slides here. The first section of the plan tries to very clearly identify, again, what the plan's purpose is, which we've already started to get into. And I did want to reinforce the point on this slide that ICANN has a rolling strategic and operational planning process. We believe this plan is really a subordinate portion of the operational planning process. So what you'll see in the appendix of the plan, and for those who may or may not have had a chance to actually pull the document up and look at it, it's not a thin document, or it's about 50 pages long, and there is an appendix in here that details our specific activities and resource commitments in our upcoming fiscal year. And for those who may or may not know, ICANN's fiscal year in operational planning starts really in July. The board will approve the FY10 operating plan and budget here at this meeting, and then we conduct activities according to that operational plan through June of the following year, and then we just roll in that cycle. In terms of the next section of the plan is entitled Challenges and Opportunities. The plan doesn't go into great depth, you know, about all the different malicious activity that's out there on the internet or try to provide metrics of what's getting worse or being effectively remediated. It does, however, you know, point to the fact that the growing misuse of the internet also includes leveraging of the unique identifier systems, such as the domain name system, in order to conduct malicious activity on the internet. And, you know, this is an area where ICANN has a long-standing commitment to ensure this quote comes from the ICANN bylaws, to ensure the stable and secure operation of the internet's unique identifier systems. So that really, as you'll, you know, as we go through the slides and if you read the plan, really forms the core focus of what ICANN does in this realm. So at the end of that section, you know, we believe that the plan is supposed to provide the ICANN community a roadmap for where ICANN will apply its efforts. This, you know, especially in an audience where we're trying to get feedback from the community about a plan such as this, I think in some ways is the most important section. Because ICANN has a broad commitment to security and stability in its bylaws, we've never really written down what its particular role and focus areas are. So the first bullet is actually still pretty vague, but because Section 5 goes into our ongoing programs, we'll go into some detail on what we think the core missions related to the Internet's unique identifier system are. But importantly, we thought we needed to make clear that ICANN does not play a role in a number of different areas that are considered cybersecurity concerns or Internet security concerns. ICANN does not act as a policeman in operationally combating criminal behavior. ICANN does not have a role regarding the use of the internet for cyber espionage and cyber war. And at the other end, probably, of the spectrum, it does not have a role in what constitutes illicit content on the internet. However, you know, somewhat in between, ICANN does and will continue to participate in activities with the broader internet community to combat the, you know, the abuse of the unique identifier systems that enable malicious activity, which is somewhat of a mouthful, but one way that that's become particularly, you know, operationally relevant in the past 6 months is on the Conficker worm, which used a domain name system as one of its primary means of potentially conducting command and control and updating itself. ICANN did play a collaborative role with others in the domain name operational system, you know, operator systems, the TLDs, as well as with the security community in trying to fight back that activity. So that's a practical example of that last missionary, and we'll probably come back to that a little bit as we go through the slides. In terms of contributors in ICANN, it's a pretty short section, but probably the most significant aspect of this section of the plan is it makes clear I'm the chief internet security advisor. I have a staff of three other people that work with me, John Crane, the CTO, Yuri Ito, who's just joined our staff, is the director of global security programs, and Jeff Bickers, who is our corporate security officer and focuses on internal security. But that's just four staff members across an ICANN staff that includes representatives from in this room that operate the IANA functions, that are responsible for compliance on ICANN's contracts, and do a number of other activities that we look at in the plan as part of ICANN's contribution to enhancing security, stability, and resiliency. So the point here is this plan is supposed to be comprehensive in terms of the full set of activities conducted by the staff, as well as pointing to the supporting organization and advisory committees, which are an essential part of what ICANN, you know, does and brings to the internet as a whole. In this section, the SSEC and the RSEC are explicitly identified throughout the plan. In other places, the roles of other supporting organizations and committees are also mentioned. So as I said a little bit earlier, Section 5 of the plan really starts to go into what specific programs ICANN has. And if you read the plan closely, what you find is Section 5, which is a big, long section, as well as Section 6. Section 5 is really supposed to be an articulation of what we are currently doing. And it begins with a strong effort, and this was really directed by the board, to be sure that we prioritize across the types of things that we're doing in the security, stability, and resiliency area. So the highest priority is the effective operation of the IANA functions. The next bullet talks to, ICANN works in a number of ways, some of which we're going to point out specifically here in a second, with the DNS and addressing communities to strengthen security, stability, and resiliency. In those activities, we see ICANN's activities as an enabler for the system, the DNS system as a whole. Part of that certainly has included activities related to supporting protocols to authenticate internet names and numbers. Again, somewhat vague language maybe, especially for the layman, but the practical application of that is DNSSEC, DNS Secure Extensions, is one of those protocols, and the efforts to implement that to get the DNS root zone signed, all of which are major focuses of ICANN's activities, would fall within that area. ICANN is also an enabler and a facilitator of activities conducted at the registry and registrar levels. As most in the room are probably well aware, there's a set of contractual obligations with the GTLD registries and accredited registrars. There are provisions there that talk to security and stability, which are pointed out in the plan in a number of different ways. With the country code domain name operators, we also have a very collaborative relationship, not in that case based on a contractual foundation. ICANN also, we brought on board a director of security operations last year and have conducted a robust set of planning efforts to make sure that our own set of security and continuity planning efforts are up to date and effective. So basically taking care of our own assets is a direct responsibility, obviously, of the corporation. And then ICANN is a participant in a wide range of broader forums and activities, the IETF, the IGF, so both technical and dialogues about internet governance and the security aspects of internet governance, I can as a participant to those things, not a driver necessarily, but hopefully a strong contributor to those activities. So these next couple slides are pretty boring. What they are, basically, are the headings of the different portions of the plan. So I'll try to talk to them. They are definitely intended to parallel that prioritization that I tried to just set out in terms of our programs and activities. Therefore, the IANA operations are first and foremost among the program elements that we address in the plan. This includes certainly the efforts to in the upcoming year are laid out in some little more detail later in the brief, so probably not worth going into each of these elements right here. If you have any questions, we certainly can address those in terms of specific aspects of what we're doing or plan to do. And again, we get a little more detail of that later. After this session, I have to go down to the main ballroom and lead the session on the potential for malicious abuse that might arise from new GTLD. So in the second section of this slide, the work with the TLD registries and registrars, certainly a major focus at this point in time is ensuring as new GTLDs and IDNs may come into play that the constructs for those activities attend to the security, stability, and resiliency concerns that may arise. And, you know, we have had a pretty vigorous dialogue, particularly in the last few months, with the community about what those concerns are and what implementation measures might be put in place to mitigate those concerns. Down towards the bottom, and again, this is pointed to in the way forward, section 6, but we have included sections that talk to collaborative response to malicious abuse of the DNS. At this meeting here in Sydney, there's been quite a bit of discussion of the Conficker worm, particularly in the CCNSO, and the need for constructs by that community, but the community as a whole, in order to collaborate more effectively and proactively, you know, be ready for events that may challenge the security and the stability of the domain name system. So we are putting a major focus on that. The 5.3 section talks to our activities with the NRO and the regional internet registries. The section 5.4 again details the activities we have internally on corporate security and continuity. 5.5 does go through the wide variety of activities that are conducted in the supporting organization and advisory committees. And then 5.6 talks to how we work across a wide variety of activities at the global, regional level. Some may be aware that ICANN has a strong global partnerships team that has regional liaisons across the globe. ICANN's a strong participant in the regional CCTLD associations, but also participates in, you know, regional network operation groups and forums, as well as, and I did provide this basically the same presentation to the GAC earlier this week. You know, we work with governments. The principal, you know, kind of mechanism by which we will seek advice from governments as a whole probably will continue to be the GAC, and we've made a commitment to brief the GAC on an ongoing basis about our security, stability, and resiliency activities. The plan also does point out that the domain name system clearly needs to be considered a critical portion of how the internet functions. You know, it's in the United States that's sometimes referred to as critical infrastructure protection or critical infrastructure. We understand that governments see the robust nature of the domain name system as part of the expectations levied upon ICANN and all of its, you know, working partners to make sure that system, you know, is resilient as something that's crucial to society at this point. The last major section of the plan is 6, and then what I decided to do with the briefing is really point to across the full panoply of activities the major things we plan to work on in the upcoming year. So it's a pretty dense slide. I'd propose not to read it, but just try to hit the high points. Again, it begins with IANA operations. So certainly a strong focus is on supporting DNSSEC implementation, particularly at the root level and coordination at this point with the U.S. Department of Commerce and VeriSign. Barbara Roseman's here. She's the IANA general manager, so certainly if we wanted to get into any of the specific aspects of that, Barbara could help us do that. With root server operations, ICANN is the operator of LROOT and a participant in the root server community, and we've been in a dialogue in their ongoing meetings about the utility of voluntary efforts to do contingency planning and exercises, and we'll continue to do that, as well as the ICANN, the joint project agreement, and ICANN's board has, you know, put down that we are trying to seek mutual recognition between ICANN and the root server operators in a variety, and some agreements have started to be put into place. At the GTLD registry level, I've already talked to it. The real focus at this point in time is on the secure, you know, making sure that as we put together new GTLDs and IDNs, that those activities can be, the process for applying, being selected, and the expectations on the operations of a new TLD registry will take into account security, stability, and resiliency concerns. Also, probably a little less visible, you know, ICANN does have a GTLD registry continuity plan. There are obligations to escrow data, and we actually plan to test the data escrow system in the upcoming year. With the CCTLD registries, over the past year, we've implemented what we call ACRP, or Attack and Contingency Response Planning Program. We've had 5 sessions, over 50 CCTLD operators have been involved. That was done in association with the regional TLD associations after the CCNSO basically validated that they thought this was a good initiative to pursue. So based on, you know, feedback on that program, which is really a relatively non-technical planning sort of workshop, we're also planning in conjunction with ISOC to do enhanced technical training for both operations of TLDs, but also securing those operations in the face of a variety of different types of risks and threats. So continuing on, across again the other sets of activities that ICANN is doing, contractual compliance, as we've basically revised the RAA agreements with the registrars. You know, we've also stepped up plans for compliance, and we're going to begin auditing registrars in terms of their activities to look for, you know, basically the compliance with contracts, but also the involvement potentially in malicious activity, and have the ability to, you know, enforce the compliance obligations that the registrars have. I've mentioned a response to malicious abuse of the domain name system. Again, been a focus of the recent past and probably going forward into this year is learning from the Conficker worm situation, the activities we undertook there, being ready with the community both across the full set. You know, there's been some discussions in the CCNSO. We've had discussions with the GTLD registries as well as registrars about how they want to interact with ICANN in when these situations involve and what ICANN can usefully contribute in terms of information sharing and facilitating contacts in the community, and we definitely plan to continue to do that. 6.4 details some of the specific things we're going to do in security and continuity operations. ICANN's just put together a board-level risk management committee, so we're getting together a full corporate risk assessment, and then we're going to ensure that risk mitigation across the full range of risks to ICANN's operations is part of our FY10, would be our FY11 operational plan that we build in the upcoming year. And then we'll continue, as I mentioned, to, you know, interact at the global level and, you know, participate in a wide variety of forums. This is the last slide, and it'll be good because no one's interrupted me for questions, and I need to get a drink of water. So this is an example of this. I think it's 11 slides at the back of the plan that I call quad charts. I developed them from a format that I'd used in the past in a different organization. But the call from the board in the strategic plan to create this plan very specifically said we need to be transparent about our activities. So this outlines specific objectives deliverables, who's involved in terms of key stakeholders, and even down to the resource commitments that ICAM plans to make across its full set of security, stability, and resiliency activities. You know, so to the extent to which the community wants to understand what we're doing and how much it costs, that information is also available in the plan. So that really wraps up the slides. You know, we have a long, we have an hour, to discuss it. I'm certainly, not just willing, but interested in getting feedback on the plan and what people's thoughts about it are. So, come on, jump in.
As you say, jump in. I'm new to this, reasonably new, so I need to track and get my knowledge up. So if it's something dumb, please go with me. You're saying to me that the CCTLDs are really a collaborative effort with... I suppose my problem is... I'm Graham Ingram, General Manager of AusCert, so I'm one of these pesky certs that keep asking for things. But one of the issues is we're quite active against botnets and botnet activity. And one of the problems that the severe problems we face is in mitigating these attacks is that a botnet hosted on a Fastflux domain is we have to get the domain down somehow. Now, generally, from what I can see across our operations, is that these domains are generally in registered offshore. So we are really working on the good grace at this point of an offshore registrar to acknowledge the fact that this domain, which they see no visibility of, is doing damage, and in some cases severe harm. And I guess coming to this meeting is trying to understand how that process can, how we can improve that, because frankly a registrar in a foreign country asking for a court order from their court, from us, to get the domain down, I just have a hard time accepting that, considering the damage being done by these botnets if it's a severe attack.
So, Graham, I think I'm going to start this in a way that, what are you having a hard time accepting? Because the CCTLD operators pre-existed ICANN, so ICANN does not have contractual authority over those operators. The fact that each of those operations are set up, in different ways across the globe, and accountable—they're not accountable to ICANN; they're accountable to either political authorities or other authorities—I think is a statement of kind of condition, as opposed to you may lament the condition, but we're not—ICANN's not capable of telling them what to do. So what we've postured and we've been pretty vigorous of late is trying to provide information to them about the nature of these challenges, suggestions about how to improve registrar contact, procedures, but we don't have a lot of, ability to make them do anything in particular.
And look, I guess it's a measure of frustration and a level of acceptance that that's the fate of the world as it currently stands, but I do... In my back of my mind, what we try in Australia to do very much is to clean up our own backyard, so that if we're not, this is a hostile place to host, is really the way we want to be, so that when we go offshore to our neighbours and say, look, help us, please, because this thing needs to be taken care of, generally the goodwill will follow. Right. But I suppose I'm supporting ICANN is that a follow the leader approach is probably as good as any we're going to get at this point. If ICANN has good practices and good acknowledgement of these issues as being significant and concerning, particularly at the TLDs, the GTLDs, Then hopefully some of the CC TLDs will say, oh, look, if it's ICANN has done it, it's probably good that we do it as well. Whereas at the moment, so from what I can work out, it's a discussion at the country code level as to what to do, and they don't have anyone to follow.
So I think it's fair to say that ICANN should make clear, and I think this plan's part of that, that these are issues and that they need to be attended to, because security of the mainname system is a collaborative endeavor. And even to the extent of ensuring that we're providing best practices, ESSEC, does studies. Those are certainly, made available. The CCs can see when different sorts of fast flex abuse, activities are characterized and what the remediations are in an ESSAC report. I think that's something that ICANN does. Again, We've instituted this attack and contingency response planning program specifically targeted at the less capable, less resourced CCTLDs to give them some leg up so that at least not inadvertently, you know, they may understand the risks and, you know, potentially decide it's really not focused on registrar behavior, but at least raise the awareness at the country code level.
Just as a follow-up for that, I accept all of that, and frankly, you have all the support. There's no question about that. The question I have is the GAC a mechanism by which some of this will also be accepted at the country level so that, you know, people don't say, what is a fast flux debate? Why does it worry me? Or that I get the feeling that some of the government members are starting to say the same things. We don't want this thing happening. Is that a vehicle that's also acceptable out there?
I'm going to speak just briefly and then turn it over to Dave. Both the staff, myself, briefed the GAC as well as the ESSEC. You know, mine was on this, which is kind of generic planning. The ESSEC provided specific advice on specific phenomena that were challenging, you know, and so we are starting to utilize that mechanism more vigorously. And Dave?
Dave Piscatello, ICANN. There are a number of things that ICANN does today that's more in the realm of providing communications channels and opening communication between parties who, you know, who encounter a botnet kind of problem in the same way that we handled Conficker, and maybe just, you know, offering a way to help you understand how previous people managed to work their way, you know, to a suspension or a domain takedown in a country, you know, when you're experiencing that problem. Many of us work with various anti-crime organizations or with anti-phishing groups and things like that. And one way we might be able to help some of the certs, if not formally, is, you know, we all have contacts. And if you have a particular problem with, you know, with a particular country, someone that we know may have already encountered that and discovered the right way and the right party to get through that, and we can share that with you. That's not an official ICANN path, but it gets the job done. So I'd say that that's one thing that we can do because we're part of a community of security professionals. The other way that we're trying to make this a little bit simpler, especially if the registrar is an ICANN accredited registrar and you're experiencing some difficulties, is that we're trying to get maybe at least a straighter path to someone who can handle an abuse complaint. So in fact, this evening I'm going to be talking about an ESSAC recommendation for publishing abuse points of contact for all ICANN accredited registrars. And that's a significant improvement over what exists today. You know, this is an incremental process, and you know, Greg hasn't been here about a year, so I'd love to have you just sort of give us more ideas about the kinds of things that we can do so that maybe we can build it into a future plan, or we can at least explain why it's way out of our remit.
This is a good dialogue.
Yeah, look, I think that's fantastic, and just the abuse points, it's a critical thing. I mean, it's as critical as having accurate who is data. As also we've been doing it for a long time, but we have direct contact with a lot of the registries, registrars, etc., which is helpful, but I know there's a lot of people who don't have that. And I think there is levels of severity as well. You have people, for example, who are contacted who are more than willing to help, and if it's not because the domain's been registered with a false credit card, it is nothing else but commercial reality. But I do still have a problem with registrars who basically say that, you know, their hosting of commonwealthbank.x is a legitimate function. There's no problem with that. And then trying to have to convince them that, well, maybe there is something wrong with it, and then having a debate where they say, well, you know, give me a court order. I think that some pressure to bear somehow is where, you know, it shouldn't have to be that hard to convince people that malicious activity. And look, I know there's a whole lot of trademark stuff out there. I don't really care about it. You know, there's mediation. There's all sorts of, but clearly, either hosting a botnet or hosting a ATO, Australian Tax Office .x, in a country overseas, it's got to be reasonably clear to these people that it's not, you know, it's not kosher.
Well, you are preaching to the choir. These are the kinds of things that we deal with every day, and we grind our teeth over. And certainly, getting more people like you who want to contribute and you know, are equally frustrated is the right right path. So,
a point. One thing I do want to ensure is that if people want to talk to the plan specifically, we get those comments out. Certainly willing to talk more generally about what the security staff and activities and ICANN, can contribute to the greater good. But, with some mandate to make sure that this plan is vetted. Anybody got specific comments on the plan? Right here.
It's Andy Linton. I work with the Domain Name Commission in New Zealand, so I'm sort of the person you call up and say, will you take these guys down? And I think there's some issues there as well. One of the single biggest issues that the registries and the registrars have is that they have a policy of first come, first served, and as soon as they get into the business of vetting people and saying, you must have this documentation, domains in that position, like New Zealand, and I know Australia is different because you have ACN numbers and so on and for com.au, but as soon as we get into that position, we then face the legal battles from people saying, you didn't check properly that this domain was. So there's a tension here between the civil liberties thing of being able to register first come, first served and not have to get into litigation with people about, well, clearly you could have seen that Commonwealth Bank was a fraud. We don't look. So, when people come with real evidence, we will deal with stuff. And often for us, the easiest mechanism to say there's real evidence is a court order. So there is a dilemma, and that's even somewhere where, I hope you don't perceive New Zealand as cowboy country like sort of Eastern Europe or wherever that, these domains are hosted where people say, I can't get any sense out of it. We really do have to keep out of it. So there is that dilemma. And yet we will also take steps. If we can find the bogus credit card or the registration details aren't correct, we will take stuff down. But it's so
actually I have a suggestion in this regard.
Let's move forward.
The 4-6 session at the new GTLD is actually on malicious conduct and what measures we might implement in the new GTLD, which is going to go directly to some of these things. So,
and we're on your side.
Okay. Other comments?
So in Section 621, the language specifically talks about just contract. The bullet point you had up was about contract language security standards and so on for the new GTLD registries. What about existing and other contracted parties? So when Dave gave the briefing at the SSAC the other day about promulgating security standards for registrars and the other registries, what are the plans for that? Clearly, when you're creating the new contracts here, you have a great avenue or opportunity to implement those security standards. But plans to go back and revisit existing players? I know that a lot of that wasn't covered in the RAA, but plans?
Right. So I think the question kind of two levels. At the first level, the focus right now clearly within the staff and the community is the conditions for the new GTLDs. The registries and registrars all do have to renew their contracts. There's no specific mandate to relook at those contracts at this point in light of security resiliency sorts of things. Again, there's been a growing energy. Again, we have a GTLD continuity program, which is voluntarily participated in by the GTLDs. Has been well received initiatives. But I would be in front of myself. And again, what we didn't want to do with this plan is to throw new ideas into the community that we would revisit the existing contractual obligations. So at this point, that's not in the plan. So, as this would go forward, there'll be an FY11 plan. It would have to be a discussion with the board and the community about whether it was appropriate to put into a plan, which the contracted parties, I think, would have some say in, that notion. So, questions?
I trust what you're including is a lot of the enforcement of some of the SAC recommendations that have already happened. And is that what the compliance area is looking at? Because I know some of the stuff that's your SAC advisories and stuff have some very good suggestions.
Right. So you use two different words, and it's important. They've got suggestions, right? ESSAC is an advisory committee. They make advisories to the board. I'm working very closely with Steve Crocker and Ram Mohan as the board liaison to more effectively take ESSAC advisories and their recommendations and look at implementation planning so that those things are real initiatives of the corporation going forward. There's been some, efforts in that regard. I think it'll be a lot better. Dave can probably speak to the reports that just came out, and, the board was specifically addressed by ESSAC about the need to do things, as a result of two recent advisories. And, Dave, you're probably better placed to provide examples.
So, ESSAC is not a policymaking organization, and that it affords us a fair amount of free roaming, so to speak. But it also means that when we make a recommendation, what we can do is insist on a policy development process, or we can suggest that someone else take a very serious look, especially if it crosses more than just the GNSO and into the CCNSO and GAC space, as is the case with things like internationalizing who is. So the path from ESSAC to something becoming policy and being incorporated as an element of an RAA and then as an element of a contract between ICANN and a registrar, for example, is not a particularly straight one, and it's not a particularly short one. What we have seen in the past is that prior to policy development, many registrars will take a look at what ESSAC recommends and voluntarily implement them. So often what we try to do is from ESSAC is make the recommendations sufficiently attractive in one way or another to allow the good registrars to see that they get a competitive advantage or a benefit, in terms of business efficiency or whatever, because dealing with malicious abuse is just it's a tax on their on their customer care and everything else. So if we can incent them to do that, that's one of the things we try to do. Policy is the stick, money's the carrot. I'm trying to figure. One of the things I had to learn coming here is how do I make people think that this is a way for them to make money. So, yeah.
Other comments, questions, discussion points, particularly on the plan. Okay, discussion points on other security stability matters. All right, I appreciate everybody's coming out, listening to what we, Graham. You couldn't let it go, but go ahead.
No, I just like one more thing. I've had a quick look. This is the first I've seen of this, so I need to go back and read it. So for with one of the things that I suppose is concerning is the growing level of interest in phishing for account details for registries or registrars. And this is not the security of the systems, it's actually the clients who are trying to do for that or get those account details so they can change them. That essentially, if I look back at our history of dealing with the banks, was the banking systems themselves were never breached. It was the clients' logins that were breached, which enabled them to do the changes that they were able to do. How does that type of activity figure into your security planning?
So at some level, it doesn't directly fit into our security planning, except, and this is kind of back to the earlier discussion, ICANN has, I think, a role, which has been mostly implemented through the ESSAC, of understanding those phenomena, delineating them clearly, so that the either responsible parties or the affected parties understand them and are given practical recommendations about what they can do. There's down at that level of activity, ICANN has no direct, authority to cause it, to tell anybody to do things, but we can provide, particularly with regard to the domain name system, a view into what's problematic and how to address it.
But to be clear, those can be amendments to the RAA, right? I mean, those can be new security standard requirements as part of those contracts.
At the registrar level.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is where the protection needs to be, to protect against that kind of attack, right? And so, I mean, that comes back to my previous question of it looks like 621 covers the new registries, and to the extent that registries and registrars may be blurred there, the contract covering both of those can include security standards, and those can be queued up to affect existing contracted parties in the future, correct? I'm not saying
right,
that that's
the new space is kind of open to implementation design. The going forward space will have to deal with the fact that the new space has potentially a different set of security obligations. You know, how that plays out in terms of policy formulation and obligation is to be determined.
Is there a reason to believe they'd be different, though? Not in terms of when they get implemented, but that there really ought to be a different set of security standards for .cars than there is for .com?
Basically, contracts evolve as a historical phenomena as well as a logical phenomena, and that's the reason for the difference, you know, or the likely difference in the near term. Right. Yeah, I mean, you just... Any other questions?
Just a comment, and probably just to follow on from Graham. The problem, once you've got the registrars, for some of the Commonwealth Bank that some of us have been just staring at, along with St. George and NAB and all the other Australian banks, so some of it's actually .au, which surprises me a bit. But it's not all just .com.
Well, I appreciate the dialogue. You know, obviously there's a number of engaged people in here. Again, it is a bottom-up process, Dave. You know, somebody mentioned it's about convincing the board, you know, in terms of some of the measures, particularly contractual, you know, changes. Those in the room that believe that those are high priorities should continue to engage. This plan is mostly about, given what the policy, you know, mandate is, how do we go about, showing everybody how we go about planning to implement that. So thanks, everybody. Have a good afternoon. Again, the potential for malicious conduct and what we might do to remediate that session begins at 4 o'clock down in the main ballroom. So some of you may be interested in that.